For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time to bring in Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. You can hear right here on The Ref from noon to 1, Monday through Friday. And looking forward to another great show. BA coming up today, and we're getting closer and closer to the game where, interestingly, kind of get your thoughts on this on a betting side. And I know you you talk some betting during the show. So the game opened Sunday at about 6 to 6.5. And then by Monday, we kind of thought it would be bet down, which it did. It went down to 4. Yesterday, it went back up to around 5, and we're sitting today at 6. So kind of interesting how the lines kind of shifted back to where it started originally. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's interesting too, Dave. And you know, obviously I'm a Georgia partisan. I want Georgia to win, so take this with a grain of salt. But if you told me I had to align myself with one side or the other, the pollsters, AP poll voters, the coaches, prone to recency bias, prone to superstition, or the betting public that's forced to put its money where its mouth is, if Vegas sets the line wrong, they lose money. If the online sportsbook sets the line wrong, they lose money. They have something at stake when they put out their opinion. So if the gambling public's on the side of Georgia, pollsters on the side of Florida, I'll go with the gamblers 9 days a week on that.
Agree with you.
Now, BA, you may not even realize this. I've got a promo running here on our 960 The Ref station. It's a Dog Nation Daily promo where you're talking about in one of your shows where this is a big-time game this year with a lot on the line, a big atmosphere outside the stadium, which will be greeted with a big-time atmosphere in the stadium with everything on the line. Of course, you and I both agree. We like the years where Florida's down, but Georgia fans really should embrace that this is going to be potentially one of the marquee games of the college football season, and for that it's a true definition of a rivalry. I'm excited about this weekend.
Yeah, I am too, and Logan, I'm like you. It's like you don't want Florida to be good if you're a Georgia fan, but the fact that they come into this game with a high rating does give you a chance to have something the college football fans around the country crave. And I don't mean to be overly philosophical for a moment, but we're all really lucky to be a part of this, whether it be radio stations get to cover it, podcast to get to talk about it, or just fans who get to attend the game. 99% of the college football world doesn't get too many moments like this where the eyes of the nation kind of descend upon Jacksonville, and it has that big feeling of a lot at stake for Georgia, a lot at stake for Florida, bragging rights, playoff ramifications, everything else. I mean, this is the kind of thing that most college football programs, most college football fans just don't get to experience very much, and Georgia fans get to experience a heavy dose of it on Saturday. So, obviously, more important to me than anything else is the outcome, and hopefully Georgia wins. But in the lead-up and the build-up to that, just a sense of, man, this is that hit in your stomach, everything at stake kind of feeling that really signifies you are a part of college football at the most macro level.
We've seen the social media postings by Lawrence Cager. We're now getting sound bites from Kirby Smart during his press conferences. B.A., how big is it for Georgia's offense if Lawrence Cager is a go this Saturday?
Yeah, I think it's huge, and Cager's been the best Georgia receiver this season, but his return for me, and I said this on our program yesterday, is not because I think he's the only receiver that can be effective against Florida. I just think a certain level of chemistry that he has with Fromm and a certain propensity for success that he's had when he's been on the field, I think that can be contagious. I think that can have a positive impact on George Pickens. I think it can have a positive impact on Demetrius Robertson. I think it can have, a real say in getting more productivity out of the wide receiver core overall. I just think that, Kirby Smart called Cager a leader off the field. He was around the group, the Kentucky game, even though he wasn't playing there, because Kirby seems to think he rubs off on them in a positive way. Well, I think that could be even more true on the field. So, Cager's return, and it certainly seems like, based on what Lawrence has said, that he's planning on doing that, I think it's about more than just him for a group that needs kind of a shot in the arm right now. I think Xavier may provide it for the rest of the guys who are on the field with him on the various plays.
Brandon Adams joins us, the host of Dog Nation Daily. You can hear it every Monday through Friday, noon to 1, right here on The Ref. B.A., what are your thoughts on the extension for Jacksonville?
Yeah, you know, I think, David, this is the right thing for this, you know, for now. You know, I think that Kirby Smart's only been at Georgia now going on 4 years. As much as UGA fans respect him, love him, really, they have great affection for him as a coach, that's too soon in your tenure to be able to call for such a huge change for tradition, which is what the world's largest outdoor cocktail party has been. So when I had a chance to speak to Greg McGarrity about this back in the spring, he said it was about a 50-50 split among fans in terms of who wants the cocktail party to stay and who wants it to go. And as long as it's a 50-50 split for now, that means to side on the side of tradition. But as maybe public opinion for the game in Jacksonville arose more over the course of the next couple of years, and right now that's the direction I think we're trending in. Once you're talking about 55% or maybe even 60% of Georgia fans who would rather see this game played in Athens every other year, at that point in time it's going to be hard for me to argue against the wishes of the majority. But for now, since it's not a clear majority of Georgia fans, I think it's right to keep it where it is. It is a unique tradition. There are obviously some recruiting challenges when you lose that home game every other year. I'm not ignorant to that fact, nor am I insensitive to that fact. But this is a pretty special thing in the college football calendar. And for tens upon tens of thousands of Georgia fans, it's one of the things they look forward to more than any other. And Georgia's got a lot of revenge, a lot of payback to give to Florida here in Jacksonville. And that's what Saturday's about. That's what the next few years are going to be about. And if it really is going to sunset the cocktail party in a couple years after that, then I think Georgia owes it to itself to go out there and make the most of these next few years. Make the party as big as it's ever been. Make the game as dominant for the Dogs as it has ever been. And then maybe in a few years from now, we'll usher in a new era of this rivalry, which I'm sure will be fun too.
Yeah, and I get it. There's good points on both sides. I mean, it's not like there's a completely wrong side and a completely right side in all of this. But I will say this. I'm glad for this year that the Gators aren't getting a gigantic recruiting weekend coming up on Saturday, because that's what they'd be getting this year if the game were in Gainesville.
Yeah, and I'll give my buddy Connor Riley, who works with the Dog Nation, credit, because I think he's had a really good point on this entire debate. David, like you said, it's a big weekend for Florida as well when it comes to recruiting when they have their home game. But also, if you're talking about wanting to beat Florida the majority of times out of a 10-year period, a decade, half those games being played in Gainesville makes that a little bit more difficult to do. So if you're looking for dominance over Florida over the long haul, every game being played on a neutral site is a little easier to win the majority of than half the games being played in a stadium that I think most SEC observers would say, you know, can be a pretty tough place to play.
Brandon, I like to think that I have somewhat of a good gauge on the Georgia fan base and how they're feeling week to week. And I'll say this, and you probably will agree, that ever since the South Carolina loss, there's been a bit of a cloud over Georgia fans that can't seem to understand why or how have we gotten here where we're not the toast of all the ESPN shows at night and we're not having that breakout year a lot of us anticipated. But with a win over what is now a top 10 Florida team, if it comes to that, would that be enough to kind of lift that cloud and kind of put this town of Athens and the surrounding areas in a little bit of a better mood? Or are we still going to worry about the things that have gone wrong this season?
No, I think that's a pretty good point. I mean, the way I kind of think of it is that over the course of a long season, when you're playing kind of beauty contest games where you judge how the win looked after it's over, there's always going to be some fertile soil for infighting on that between people who think everything is fine and people who think there are, you know, various issues coming up. And, you know, that infighting has a way of turning Georgia fans as rivals against each other. But once you play a big enough game where you don't need beauty contest stuff, where just winning the game alone is enough, well, now the rival's back to where it's supposed to be, which is on the other sideline and the other opponent. So I actually think the Florida game comes at a good time for Georgia in that regard. And assuming that you win this game on Saturday, you set up the rest of the month of November be all about just checking off wins on the box. Some of those games were difficult than others, but checking off wins on, you know, as a pathway towards hopefully getting back to the SEC championship. So we kind of always knew that October was going to be the doldrums of the season because those were the precursors to the games that really mattered. the fact that Georgia lost one of those games, I think, only intensified that feeling. But now that's over with. And now, you know, these are games that you don't quite have to have any kind of magnifying glass out to sort of figure out how good is Georgia. By winning the games, they will prove how good they are. Or, unfortunately, by losing the games, they'll prove that the concerns that people had up to this point may have been justified. But the results themselves are going to tell the entire story here. You won't need a whole lot of pontificating about the way Georgia played. You'll just simply have to look at the scoreboard, which I think is a little bit more sane conversation, for lack of a better way to say it.
Brandon, you spent a good part of your spring and summer kind of, you know, poking fun of, and for good reason, a lot of the things Dan Mullen does, the spring attendance, and other ways that he has kind of trolled Georgia since joining the Florida Gators. But how much of that, I'll admit, we haven't talked about it much on our show, and I haven't heard you mention it much either this week, but does Kirby remember these things as he goes to Jacksonville this week? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think one of the things that Kirby's pretty good at doing, and I'm obviously reading between the lines in this because I'm not behind closed doors, I think he's really good at projecting an image publicly and doing something a little bit different private. You know, go back to 2017, for instance, when Gus Malzahn said the thing about being the dog crap out of Georgia after the game in November. You know, Kirby leading up the SEC championship did not make a big deal about that at all. Essentially, you know, pretended like he didn't even know about it. You know, basically just kind of watched the whole thing off. But there were players after that game, Isaac Nata comes to mind here, who said, yes, they were very much made aware of that going into the game. Georgia obviously looks for every piece of motivation it can get in the lead up to a game. And that's an example of behind closed doors things being a little bit different. My guess is the Georgia Florida thing is much the same way, that Kirby is not going to give credence to, you know, Mullen as, you know, kind of a guy who, you know, chose to, you know, run his mouth a little bit during the offseason. He's not going to do that publicly, but if he feels like he can push that button privately, I think he'll do it. I think it's one of the underrated aspects of Kirby Smart as a coach. I think he understands motivation. I think he understands that you can't bring it out too early. You know, last week he talked incessantly about how they weren't really working on Florida. They were kind of working on themselves. I take him at his word when he says that, because he said that so frequently through his career. He knows that there's such a thing as peaking too early. They're kind of turning up the gas a little too early, and you burn guys out before the game actually gets here. But now, as we speak, it's Wednesday of game week. My guess is behind the scenes, probably, you know, Scott Sinclair and the strength and conditioning staff maybe, you know, tasked with this job. But I'm sure there's probably a lot of reminders of what Florida has done, what Florida has said, maybe even reaching back to previous years and just really getting these players in the right frame of mind, frothing in the mouth, kind of go out there and make an enemy out of Florida on Saturday. I know Kirby's never going to do that publicly, even though I'd be entertained if he did, but I trust him to do it privately. I think it's the right way to get a team ready for a rivalry game, and I'm imagining behind closed doors, that's exactly what Georgia's doing right now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And for both of you guys, don't think for a second that some of that stuff isn't brought up this week, because it will be. And like you said, Brandon, you make a very good point. You got to keep it private. But for Coach Smart and the other coaches in the team, oh, yeah, they are very, very, very much aware of the things that have been kind of trolled at Georgia over the last 12 to 18 months.
And I'll say this, it's kind of a cool place for Georgia fans to be, because I'll mention Florida, Auburn, and Georgia Tech, who most dog fans in some order would say are Georgia's three biggest rivals. You know, I think one of the things that you see with Kirby Smart on this, you know, he faked the field goal last year against Auburn, which most people took as an example of running up the score. Go back and look at what he said after the Tech game in 2017 about how the revenge tour was complete. You know, he didn't say anything about that up until that time, but after they beat Tech in Atlanta, he said, yeah, we checked out the final box in the revenge tour here today. Go back and look, you know, if you're a lip reader, there was some video that captured him at the end of the Georgia-Florida game last year. Certainly pretty proud of the way his team has played. I'll be diplomatic and say it that way. When he was walking over to shake Dan Mullen's hand, and obviously the celebration that took place in that locker room. Kirby Smart will treat, you know, publicly say every game's the same, every game's a rival, blah, blah, blah. I've even asked him these questions. He kind of does, you know, the same thing every single time. But when you look at the way that he has celebrated rivalry wins, I think a Georgia fan should take some comfort in knowing that you've got a coach, because he played at Georgia, because he grew up in the state of Georgia. I think he understands who Georgia's rivals are, and I think he understands the self-preservation as a coach that comes when you deliver big rivalry wins to your fan base and the booster class and everything else, Kirby's just, he's good at that. He doesn't play along with it publicly. Sometimes he's a guy who loves sound bites. I wish he would. It'd be fun for me. But obviously what's more fun for fans is delivering those pelts after the games. And he has certainly had a skill of doing that for the most part over the last couple of years.
All right, B.A., good stuff as always. We do appreciate it. We'll be listening to you this afternoon, noon to 1, and all the way through the week. Safe travels down to Jacksonville, and we'll catch you again next Wednesday.
Yeah, can't wait to see you guys down there, and appreciate your time, and I always love to be on 960 The Ref.
You're the man, Brandon. Thanks.
Thanks, B.A.
Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily, noon to 1, Monday through Friday, right here on 960 The Ref.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.